Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Hidden History of Texas. I'm your host, Hank Wilson. This is episode 78. Who would have thunk it, huh, when I started this program? You know what? We've been talking about floods, water, destruction, extreme weather here in Texas over the past decades. And today we're going to continue that, and we're going to talk about something that's happened in the area where I live in Central Texas. And Central Texas is really, I think, the flash flood capital of the state. And in 1957, the longest drought in Texas history ended with massive floods. Now, we call it here in Texas the Central Texas Flood. It's here in the Hill Country. And the reality is, in Texas, climate changes. And that's how not climate change, which is the political word, but when the climate changes here, when things change, those changes can often be considered extreme. Our state is so large that one portion of it can suffer from flooding rains, the other portion can be in extreme drought. Now, in fact, parts of Texas are currently experiencing a drought, as is actually most of the western United States, but this podcast and this episode is all about Texas, so we won't delve into the other ones. Now, the worst drought in Texas history was the 1950s drought. It lasted from 1949 to 1957, and it's considered the state's drought of record. It was caused by, well, guess what, prolonged periods of little to no rainfall, and as a result, there was extensive agricultural losses, dried up water resources, destructive weather events, tornadoes, windstorms, but no rain, and played a significant role in how the economic structure of the state began to shift away from the rural communities that it was to the current model of mostly urban communities. The environmental effects of the drought definitely laid the foundation for the devastation that was to follow during the flood. Rivers and creeks dried up, reservoirs emptied, and the landscape was severely impacted. Now, one interesting side effect was that, like I said, there were occasions when the state experienced destructive hail and multiple tornadoes. Now, when the drought broke, it broke in a big way. They called it the Day of the Big Cloud. The drought officially ended with a significant rain event on April 24, 1957, which brought 10 inches of rain within a few hours and marked the Day of the Big Cloud. But that wasn't the only water that fell from the sky. In Lampasas, community a little bit north of where I am, on May 12th, Mother's Day, heavy rainfall overwhelmed Lampasas, particularly its Sulphur Creek watershed, breaching levees and sending a surge of floodwaters through the heart of town. The flood inundated 68 downtown blocks, destroyed 38 homes and 5 businesses, severely damaged 46 houses and 47 businesses, and affected about 90% of the downtown area. Total damages were estimated at $4.5 million. Now, worse than the economic losses, 5 residents lost their lives during the Lampasas flood. The event did prove to be a turning point for the town, and afterwards, officials implemented new and substantial flood control measures, which have come in handy even in today's world. Now, the massive amount of rainfall turned Hill Country creeks into torrents of raging water that swept through Llano, Burnett, and Lampasas counties with a fury born of years of pent-up skies. Dozens perished as flash floods tore through towns and carried away homes like driftwood. The flood was both a tragedy and an ending. While the flood broke the back of the 1950s drought, it came at a terrible human cost. Almost 25 years later, well, Central Texas would once again see heavy flooding, not ending a drought, just heavy rain. And this time, it took place in the state capital. It hit Austin. We know it here in Texas as the 1981 Austin Flood, Shoal Creek and Onion Creek. See, now, this was a summer storm that seemed kind of ordinary at first. But by the night of May 24th, 1981, Memorial Day weekend, Austin was drowning. Shoal Creek is the largest of Austin's north urban watersheds. It encompasses about 8,000 acres, or 12, almost 13 square miles. And about 27% of the watershed is over the Edwards Aquifer Recharge Zone. Now, its length is approximately 11 miles long, okay? It runs parallel to and between Waller Creek to its east and Johnson Creek to its west. Now, according to the National Weather Service Advanced Hydrologic Prediction Service, on May 24, 1981, Shoal Creek reached its highest crest ever, and it was recorded at 23.11 feet. Now, this record crest led to the deaths of 13 people and $36 million in damages. Shoal Creek burst its banks, turning streets into rivers that carried away cars like driftwood. Downtown stores filled with water, entire blocks of North Lamar were gutted, and homes along Onion Creek were swallowed in the flash floods. 13 people lost their lives that night. They were caught in the sudden, violent rise of the water. For Austin, well, the flood was a wake-up call. Turns out, even in a growing modern city, nature could still claim the upper hand in an instant. And it did. Now, in addition to the flooding, the storms also knocked out power to the National Weather Service station, as well as local television and radio station, leaving thousands of people and first responders without ways to communicate with each other. The hilly terrain, coupled with the heavy rain events that tend to happen in the month of May anyway, has given Central Texas, what did I say, an infamous meteorological nickname, Flash Flood Alley. And 1998, that moniker was born out again with disastrous consequences. We're talking about the 1998 October Texas flood. Now, I remember this one specifically because I had just moved from San Antonio up into the hill country when this hit, and it rained and rained and rained and rained. And I remember calling my father, who was living down near Houston and where the rivers were going to be going, and telling him, there's a whole lot of water coming your way. See, the October 1998 Texas flood, it did take place over parts of South and Southeast Texas. For 2 days, October 17th and 18th, the rain never let up. That's not an exaggeration. It did not stop. The storm brought over 20 inches of rain to some parts of Southeast Texas, causing $750 million in damages. 31 people died as a result of that storm, most of them by drowning. Now, the storm was created when a very strong upper-level trough approached from the western U.S. and collided with very warm, moist air, which had been sitting over southern Texas, for several days. Now, this is what we call training. It just trained. Now, this caused dew points in the area to be in the mid-70s that weekend. An area of very warm and moist air was present nearby due to Hurricane Madeline, which was sitting off the west coast of Mexico. On October 16th, the storm was being forecast by the National Weather Service to produce a significant amount of rain and was only missing one ingredient for it to be a disastrous storm. Well, the missing ingredient was a cold front. And guess what? One was moving steadily towards Texas. Forecasters predicted that if this were to arrive at the same time as the rain, well, there would be heavy rain and possibly flooding. At 3:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, the National Weather Service in New Braunfels issued a flash flood watch for all counties in South, South Central, and Southeast Texas. Between the hours of midnight and 4 a.m. on October 17, 1988, small clusters of rain showers and thunderstorms began to form over southern Texas ahead of the approaching cold front. For the next few hours, storms didn't organize into powerful clusters until the convection formed over the northern part of Bexar County, that does include San Antonio. Now, after this formation, the storms rapidly increased in formation and power until the cold front arrived. The convection spread very quickly into other counties after the intensification. These counties included my home county of Burnett, Llano, Williamson, Blanco, and Travis, which includes the city of Austin. The cold front would soon arrive in the area, and it brought torrential rains. The cold front arrived in southern and southeastern Texas on the evening of Saturday, the 17th, October 17th, and it caused the storm to rapidly intensify until the torrential downpours began over the entire area. This started to flood many rivers and other bodies of water in the area, including the San Marcos River, the Guadalupe River, Canyon Lake, and the Medina River. The rainfall caused widespread flash flooding across the urban area of San Antonio and Austin. Heavy rains continued for the entire day of October 18th and eventually tapered off and moved away to the coast and soon offshore. The flood event impacted many areas, mostly in southern, southeast, south central Texas, and there was minor flooding along the coast of the state. That's where our rivers end up. The greatest impact was in southern Texas, which did include the urban areas of San Antonio and Austin and all of their surrounding suburbs. The counties with the most significant rainfall damage and fatalities were Travis, Bear, Guadalupe, and Caldwell. Okay, and again, this did include both the cities of San Antonio and Austin. 31 people were killed as a result of the flooding across 9 different counties, 24 separate incidents in the south, southeast, and south central Texas. 29 of those deaths were caused directly from the storm, and 2 were caused indirectly. Of 31 deaths, 24 were caused by drowning. Of the deaths caused by drowning, 22 were caused by a driver driving their vehicle into high water on a road flooded by the torrential downpours. There were 16 different incidents when these types of deaths occurred, 4 of them involving multiple deaths. 63% of these incidents involved a truck, van, or sports utility. Other deaths included 3 cardiac arrests, 3 incidents of multiple trauma, and 1 death caused by hypothermia after being submerged in the water. And then it was a short 4 years later that the area was hit again by a torrential rain. And we'll talk about what happened in 2002 and 2015 in the next episode of The Hidden History of Texas. This has been The Hidden History of Texas. Folks, when you see a flash flood and you see water going across the road, as we say here in Texas, turn around, don't drown. I'm Hank Wilson. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye, folks. Thanks for listening.